hats hanging from poles, little dead or out in groves. I remember Halloween. Brand new vertigo, skeletons of life is known. I remember Halloween this day, anything goes, burn bodies ain't.
Children of the Night, to a very special cut-by-cut Halloween podcast. That's right, we're taking time between the switching of side A and side B to bring you an evening of celebration of the macabre, of the dark, of the things that lurk under your bed when you're tucking your loved ones to sleep. Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm fantastic, man. That was a I was in the groove there.
Thanks. You know what today actually is?
Today is Halloween.
And it's our normal release day.
I know, that was fortuitous.
Unbelievably so. I think we really landed on a lucky rabbit's foot there.
Yeah, it's almost like we planned this.
Now, of course, let me ask you the real question.
Yeah.
Do you remember Halloween?
Yeah, it has a few wires.
Do you keep it in your heart all year round?
It's one of my faves.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I hate Halloween.
There are parts of it I really appreciate.
Yeah? What parts, Chris?
Oh, no, I'm not going to elaborate.
I was going to say.
Yes.
Allow me to open the door that you can walk
through. It's evolved over the years. I used to enjoy going out and getting candy.
Yep.
You know, and dressing up in costume.
Yeah, of course.
As a ute.
Yep.
It morphed into a good time to go hang out with friends, get a little kooky.
Yep.
Maybe equally...
Yeah.
Get fun in some costumes.
Imbibe in too much sugar.
Yeah, I'm not a big candy. Yes.
You're not a big candy person, but you eat those little candies.
I want those Reese's peanut butter cups. That's what I want.
Of course.
But yes, get the candy, you hang out with friends. It was always a fun, legitimate reason to leave your... I was a bit of a cave dweller.
Yeah.
You know, cause a little bit of trouble. I was kind of a troublemaker. We TP'd a few friends' houses.
Mm-hmm.
Family that I knew wouldn't hate me afterwards for doing so. Yeah. Raise a little hell?
No, I raised no hell.
No hell.
I was not a hell raiser in the least. I celebrated the first Halloween. I mean, my dad took me out when I was a wee little lad, right? I was, I remember Darth Vader 1 year, Han Solo 1 year. This is going back
I seem to recall an Instagram feed of.
Yeah, yeah. This is going back to like 77, 78, 79. I mean, I was a child. And then. The first year I made my own outfit was, what's the grade before first grade?
Well, kindergarten or pre-K if you had some trouble.
It was kindergarten. I grew up in the 80s, dude. There was no like
pre-1, I'm sorry,
mid-grades.
Pre-1.
Yeah, none of this crap. No, you sank or you swam or you sunk.
Yeah.
So that made no sense. But anyway, I had made my own outfit because I was a latchkey kid.
Yeah.
And this is a long, sad story, but the moral of it is I made myself a TV set.
I'd apologize for bringing it up.
Yeah. No, but don't. It's this, Halloween. The
episode
comes up
every
was your
idea. Yeah. This was your idea. So.
And it just was a colossal failure. I ended up getting sick on candy and throwing up all over myself. And
you're an epic fail.
Oh, it was nasty. The bus driver made me walk home.
Mistakes were made.
Yeah, mistakes. It was a lot of boo-hoo, and I think it took me roughly 30 years to recover from that.
Oh, okay. So you're almost over it?
Yeah, I went to a Halloween party and I stood around with like a beer in my hand for most of the party and then said, this is what I've been missing. And that was the end of it. So I've always celebrated Halloween as a person who is willingly, I used to walk around, like I'd walk around the streets, but I never dressed up. I didn't stop for candy. It was a cool night to just walk around.
Yeah. Well, you know, so once I was in the post-high school, you know, college years, I guess.
Yeah.
I wasn't a frequenter of frat party type environments.
Sure.
But that was like the one night that like that was all right to.
It was all right for fratting.
Well, I wouldn't say fratting, but go to a party like that. I didn't necessarily like parties.
Sure.
Someone was always doing something stupid, and somehow I always found myself next to that person.
So two questions then. What was one of your favorite outfits? What do you remember dressing up as anything in particular?
I honestly have very little recollection of things I actually dressed up. I remember being a baseball player 1 year because it's what I had.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a baseball player.
I think most guys are lazy Halloweeners. I think it's you know, most guys are like, this is what I have in my closet. So
let me backpedal. Are you talking ever? All Halloweens? Brooke and I 1 year recently.
Yeah.
You know, in the last 5 years or so. Now that I have kids, like I said, I can get to this point. Now that I have kids, it's fun.
Yeah.
They like dressing up. I like seeing them having fun. They're putting a lot of thought into it. You know, sure. They're calculating what they want to be, and they're excited for candy, obviously.
So and what are your kids going out as this year?
So this year my daughter is Mal from one of these Disney's cashing in on this young adult kind of stuff.
Sure. Okay. Why not?
So it's
just a Disney younger characters. Version of what, like the Evil Queens?
It's their progeny, if you will.
Right.
Yeah, it's like the next generation. And these are the... So it's actually a little bit of...
Yeah, this isn't a podcast on what your daughter's going to be for Halloween. No, I just asked a real simple question.
Well, I feel the need to explain Mal because I just learned who the hell this is. Anyway, she's Mal from The Descendants. Anyone out there who is a Disney fan?
I would have been Milo from The Descendants, but I understand that. Your son?
He was torn. He really wanted to be he wanted to be like a demon.
Nice.
But we just couldn't find anything that was like kid size that was appropriate.
Sure.
So he's a zombie hunter. We got him a little zombie hunter kind of axe and outfit.
Which is good. Are you going to be like a zombie?
I don't know
him?
That I'm going to get dressed up. It would be funny if I have wanted to be Fido, you know, the zombie Fido.
Oh, yeah, yeah, from the movie Fido.
I would love to do that someday. It would be fun to be a pet zombie, right?
You said that you and Brooke had just been something. What were you?
Oh, yeah, so we just got kooky 1 year and decided, got really into it, both of us at the same time. And I donned my Danzig shirt, bought a Danzig wig. I was Danzig. Not too clever, but
yeah,
I got the long black wig and got a photo of it somewhere.
Yeah,
but it was pretty fun.
I actually have a photo of that somewhere.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. I have to say, we went around the neighborhood and then we ended up going somewhere.
Cool.
And she had a big blonde wig, and so she looked totally different. And like, the, you know,
did people mistake you for like Wayne's World Garth? And
No.
What's your favorite candy?
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, hands down.
Really?
Yeah. Frozen, little, put it in the freezer, get it crisped up.
How do you eat a Reese's Peanut Butter
Cup? Oh, like two bites. I don't.
You just shove the whole thing in your mouth and be done with it.
My form of savoring is more quantity.
Sure. So... I work with a person who I'll call HT. Her real name's Andrea, but, you know, for the sake of anonymity, we'll call her HT. She introduced me to these things called Take Fives.
Yes.
You know this?
I know of them. I probably have had at least one.
I feel like it's the candy that nobody knows exists.
Doesn't it have like something? It has like five
pretzels
ingredients, right?
And yeah. Chocolate, yeah. And crack cocaine. I mean, it's just an amazing candy bar. Yeah. And, you know, it's the kind of candy bar that the small size is basically a meal replacement plan.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's that much crap in it.
Yeah.
So delicious. You know what we're here to do?
We're here to talk about Halloween.
We're not here to eat crackers. We're not here to eat crackers and talk misfits because we're all out of crackers.
We're all out of crackers.
Let's talk some misfits. Let's start with Halloween, which I'm going to be completely frank and just say this is one of my absolute favorite misfits.
Oh, okay.
Songs.
The way you were leading into that, I thought you were going to go like the one you hated the most.
No, and Alkaline Trio, you know, we started with a cover this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. The song is haunting.
They nailed that cover. I mean, I am actually not a huge fan of the song just because... I mean, I like it, but it's not one of my tops, but that cover just made it.
It's the
gives me chills.
You know, I like, this is one of the few songs where I think Danzig is almost writing poetry, right? We've got this bonfires burning bright. So when we talk about poetry, we talk about like creating settings and mood and atmosphere and tone.
Yeah.
Pumpkin faces in the night. I remember Halloween. And there's something so beautifully nostalgic about, I think back to when I used to walk the neighborhoods and kids were out. And, you know, it always, Halloween, I'm sure, always seems like that, you know, when I was a kid, Halloween was better kind of thing. Because it's really a night where people just unleash their children and go, go! Or it yeah, was kind of, well, when I was growing up.
It's less of that now, but it's more controlled, right? You don't just let your kids go. It's you take your kids where you want them to go.
Yeah, I don't buy that whole, like, what do they call it, like, hello trunk-a-ween. So, that's so, such bull.
Well, they're doing, we are participating in a trunk-or-treat.
Okay.
Because it's a nice idea. And you know what it is for me? There are people who fear Halloween enough to not let their kids go out. Trunk or treat is a nice way to say, come to a safe environment.
Sure.
Do the thing. Let your child, please, dear God, let your child experience Halloween.
But I had this argument with somebody in the lunchroom the other day, which is all of the reported cases of like razor blades and apples and poisoned candy have all been family or people who you know.
Really?
Yeah, there is no.
I haven't researched this.
There's no like record of mad poisoner. All right, so it wasn't like
it is one of these irrational fears, right? But
totally. Which reminds me,
for me, it was less just like when. So I grew up. I didn't grow up in like Warwick City, right? I didn't grow up in a city. I grew up where it was like lengths of football fields between houses. So yeah. I mean, it's still same state, but just it took me all gosh darn night to get like
I had to hike all the way over to the Orsons.
Fargo, yeah. But we yeah, that's the one time I censor my
I know, right?
My potty mouth. But there was significant distance, so I had to walk. You know, I wish I grew, not always wish, but for nights like Halloween, I should have come up to these places where there's these little suburban cul-de-sacs.
Oh, totally.
I was a night of exercise where I was like, I'd be gone. I'm gone for 2 hours because I have to go walk like 3 miles to just get like a Ziploc bag full of candy.
Well, I tell you, my dad was never a Halloween person. It has nothing to do with he was a pastor or anything along those lines. He just never dug Halloween. They didn't really get behind it. And I think that's part of the reason me growing up was, again, we didn't do costumes. I always wanted elaborate costumes and designs. My parents were the least creative folks on the face of the planet. Their idea was like, you know, here's a fake snout. Look, you're a wolf man. Look, I always wanted to be a wolf man, like really, you know, blow it all out. So my dad, when he got into a wheelchair, he had an electric door opener on the house. So he'd press a button and the door would open creepily by itself.
Yeah.
So at Halloween, he'd take tea lights. And when he opened the door to his house, it was a long hallway that led to the kitchen. So it would all be lit with tea lights.
Nice.
And he would sit in his chair because, you know.
I like how he embraced the creepiness, though.
Oh, my God. You know,
it took him 40 years, but.
Yeah, he would open the door and it would slowly creep
that's
open
fantastic.
And here's this old guy sitting in a wheelchair hunched over with a big thing full of candy, and they were almost assholes about it because they would buy full-size bars, so the allure was come in for a full-size bar, but they lived in a gated community or closed community, so the threat was nil, right? I mean, this was the old guy who was always scooting around the neighborhood.
Well,
there
was like a momentary thing, and then you turn around and you're in suburbia. So, like,
yeah, right. These kids were safe, and the parents would be like, you know, ooh, let's go in. The kids are like freaking out, like scrabbling to get out of the house. We had so many large candy bars left over; it was enough to induce some kind of insulin need.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know,
well, that's when you just take it to work and drop it on a table and let the vultures consume.
Yeah, I hate those people. Anyway, the whole concept of dead cats hanging from poles, and I love the little burst of violence, right? We get this quick image, but then he backs up with little dead are out in droves.
Yeah.
And I almost imagine little kids all dressed up as skeletons, kind of climbing over stuff and toilet papering.
So there's a YouTube mashup where they play the Alkaline Trio cover over snippets from that movie Trick or Treat. You ever seen that one?
Is that the one with the little doll?
Trick or Treat is a medley of stories centering on the night of Halloween in this town.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of a common thread through all of the stories, and you actually, when you're telling one story, you see like a little clip of one of the other stories, like moments of the other stories happening. So as you watch it, you're getting things out of sequence. But
yeah.
Anyway, it's a very good movie.
So they just take the scenes and they edit it over the Alkaline Trio version?
Well, they just, so some YouTuber just took
clip, oh, some YouTuber.
Some YouTuber just Oy. Came and took the took, you know, snippets from the movie and made a mash, just, they call it a mashup, but yeah. It's very well done. It's almost like it's a,
well, I want to finish off Halloween. Then we'll get into Halloween 2.
Oh geez, the sequel.
Which is brilliant. So the dead cats are hanging from poles, little dead are out in droves, but I love this line, then it goes Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Candy apples and razor blades, little dead are soon in graves.
Yeah.
And you almost get that this is a poem about the perspective of a mad poisoner or yeah. a mad yeah, killer. Sure. And I think that this, it brings me back.
I don't have it in front of me. What's the line? Something, something, anything goes. Like that's that follows up the. Anyways, and anything is possible.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
For this
day, anything goes. Yeah. Burning bodies hanging from poles, right?
Yeah.
Amazingly creepy. But then for some freakish reason, they follow it up with Halloween 2.
On the same albums, you know, like they put them together.
Well, I think, aren't they on collection? Because they weren't originally.
Oh, God.
They weren't released on an album. They were only released on the collections.
They had a 7-inch. They had the collection that came on the box set.
So I can see it as a 7-inch,
and it was
right?
on the unreleased 12 Hits right. from Hell. Right.
So you need to...
But they both were supposed to be on that 12 Hits from Hell, I believe. So,
but you need something for the B-side, right? So I can imagine they're scrounging around trying to find something.
So 12 Hits of
Hell. Right. Well, no, but I mean, 12 Hits from Hell wasn't an intentional album. That... Right. This was released as a 7-inch.
Agreed.
So what I'm saying is they had Halloween.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then it's like, hey, Dan, hey, you know, Glenn, we need a B-side. And he's looking around going, I got nothing. So he picks up his book, which is all written in Latin.
Read some incantations.
And proceeds to read an incantation about creating werewolves. Formula teres exorcis morum et excommunication. Dreamis et victus lupus. Those two songs as a whole, I think...
See, the Halloween 2 for me cheapens Halloween. Like, I get it.
All right.
And then actually, one of the interesting things I do get out of Halloween 2 is it shows where he's leaning in terms of the Samhain, because it slows it down. I believe it gets a little more fuzzier, right? So, like, yep. It's just...
I mean, but... it's not their banger, right? This isn't the song you put on when you're like, I need to hear some Misfits, and then you crank up Misfits Halloween 2.
We've talked about this thing before. I don't put it on purpose. Like, you know,
right,
it's
right.
there. I never. If it comes on, I'm like, eh.
In the days of cassettes, yeah. This was the bit I wouldn't bother fast forwarding through, because it meant that when the songs were only a minute and a half long, I'd end up going way too
right.
far. Yeah, exactly. The other track I wanted to talk about while we were sort of just kind of going over lost Misfit songs or yeah. songs that aren't on this album that we thought were important to negate or talk about, rather, excuse me. Was American Nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, so interesting fact about this. I have to, almost with embarrassment. Yeah. Utter embarrassment.
I'm excited to hear this. Go ahead.
I had never heard this song before. So having listened to it in preparation for this episode,
sure.
I would remember it because it's pretty darn good.
And it's so different from everything in the catalog.
Yeah, it's super Elvis-y, and I love it.
I heard this American Nightmare through a band that was out of Providence called the Amazing Royal Crowns.
Okay, yeah. Yep.
So they played Lehigh University. They played to a crowd maybe of 6.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They played harder and faster and more aggressive and just...
It's a great mix for a great show.
Totally. And, the lead singer, Kendall or something like that, was like, we're going to make everybody wish they had been at this show. Like, we're going to... When you tell people, they're going to be shocked that they missed it. And so about halfway through, he stops and plays American Nightmare. And he finishes and says, you know who that was? And like 6 of us are kind of like looking around with our thumbs up our butts. And he goes, that was the Misfits. You're right. And then he goes into another, Amazing Royal Crown song. And I remember it going, that wasn't a Misfits song. I know
right.
the Misfits
yeah,
songs.
What the hell?
This isn't it. Well, I went home and... didn't own Legacy of Brutality, so I went to the record store and I was like, do you have this song about American nightmare-y things? And they're like, yeah, it's Legacy of Brutality. Here, take it.
Here, take
and
it.
The song changed my life. It changed my whole view of the Misfits.
Really? Yeah. Well, yeah. It was a missing... It's the only... So in preparation for this episode,
yeah.
I was like, what other songs haven't I heard? Here I am trying to do a podcast and sound at least semi-intelligent.
Yeah, edumacated.
Yeah, that thing. So
learned.
Learned. And I was like, well, so luckily I've heard everything else.
Oh, good.
But
so this was the missing link.
Everything published, that
sure.
is. But, yeah, it was this one fell through the cracks and all because I didn't have that one album. That yeah. This is the only one it came out on.
I mean, the lyrics are amazing. It's Elvis-y. It's got the structure of an actual rock and roll song more than it has the structure of a punk rock song.
Yeah.
So it's got
it's rock. It's pure rock.
I remember hearing, although I didn't do much prep for this, that they had to replace the guitar. They had to bring in a new guitarist to play these riffs.
Right.
Because it was significantly beyond their pay scale. Maybe that's... But I don't know why this was left off of... Actually, I here's my assertion. I think this was left off Walk Among Us. Because this was supposed to appear on Walk Among Us. It was recorded for those sessions.
Right, it's that Plan 9 unreleased version, right, that got... Ixnade.
Yeah, but I think that this song, because this song is so powerful and because this song is so well and beautifully written, number one, it would have taken all the attention from the rest of the album.
Really?
Two, this song would have been a bitch and a half to play live if your guitarist can't play it. So you're going to have a song on the album that's gaining all this attention, that is a strong, like, it is the fulcrum of the album. It is literally... the odd song out.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely different. So.
So it's on this fulcrum, and then you can't play it live. So there's no point where they can be like, next up, American Nightmare, 1, 2, 3, go.
Well, there are. I mean, I've actually. So I guess in some way, kudos to the band for.
I'm putting all this on them. I have no proof as to why they cut.
That's a wise choice, because I've actually been to, you know, there's been, I don't have a one in particular on my on the list, but I've actually been to a few shows, you know, and one of those ones where they're like, what do you want to hear next? And someone would be like, play that song off that thing you learned, you know, with that album.
Yeah.
And they're like, and look around and be like, Jack doesn't know that one, you know?
Yeah. Well, John will do that, too, from the Mountain Goats. Someone will scream a song. He's like, yeah, no, I forgot that years ago.
Well, that's, at least he's putting it on him, you know, but it's like, right, it's right. Like, you can see Danzig being like, Doyle doesn't know how to play that one. Fuck you.
Yeah, that would be totally, that would be a nightmare.
An
American nightmare, perhaps? So, we're talking about Halloween. We're talking about American Nightmare. I think now is the time where we should try to figure out what our five best Misfit songs are.
Yeah.
Here's how I propose we do it. We start at number five.
Okay.
You give, or I give, well, we'll rock, paper, scissors. We'll fill in the slots individually. And then whoever gets the number one gets to claim Cut by Cut's opinion.
Oh, you're just going to like, this is the best. You don't even want a consensus. Well, it's a part, it's a
quorum. No, I think you go and you say, this is the song I want. Right.
Okay.
And then I'll go and I'll say, this is the song I want.
We're filling out the five.
Now we're going to rock, paper, scissor right here on the air. So it's very exciting for you people at home. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Ooh, Chris drew scissors. I drew paper. So you get to choose number five.
That is very exciting.
Which means you also get to choose number one.
I know. That's what I was a little nervous about. I was going to give you the floor, but
nope. This is now kind of like a Connect Four thing. I have to anticipate the song that you're going to choose, and I want it at a higher level,
pardon the noise here. I'm picking up my book and I'm hiding it from you.
Oh shit! You've been looking at mine all night.
No, I'm not looking. Keep my eye. I'm looking you in the eye here. We're gaming this.
All right.
You're a competitive person, even when the other person doesn't know you're being competitive. So
I know, which is also weird because I'm also passive aggressive. So basically, I'm plotting everyone's demise constantly.
You're like a cat.
Yeah. That's why I get along with them so well.
Right.
So here we go. Song number five.
I pick for song number five, Where Eagles Dare.
What?
Yeah.
That wasn't even on my list. That wasn't even in my considerations.
I ain't no goddamn son of a bitch.
Oh, that is a great refrain, though.
Yes.
Because I got to think about that,
baby.
I hear Troy McClure.
The hook in that one gets me.
You've got to think about it, baby.
Yeah.
So that, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling you and I have different tastes. So
you and I have very different tastes.
I'm gonna be rocking your world a little.
Okay, so number four. Now I have to think about what songs are really important to me because I only get two choices. So
tell you what, let's do this. I don't like the odd number, so let's do 1A and 1B.
All that right? Sounds great. All You're right, so good. Nice. Yeah. I'm gonna go with Some Kind of Hate.
Ooh.
And it's strictly for the line, "Maggots in the eyes of love yeah. won't copulate."
Yeah.
I actually was, again, that's a lyric I never paid attention to. And I was listening to Adam in his package.
Yep.
And he sings that line in one of his songs.
Just, yeah, randomly inserts it.
I remember thinking, nobody would write such a dumbass line. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
You know, "The omelet of disease awaits my frying pan" is another one. And I'm like, are these really things that people have put on paper? And lo and behold, they are. Glenn Danzig has written these things.
Well, you've taken a song off my list.
Sank Your Battleship.
Yeah, well, that was like the three, you know.
Yeah, I had it as number two, but I had to put it at four to make sure it made the list.
Okay. Well, that was on my list.
Anyways. Oh, okay.
It was kind of, huh? Good choice, though.
Thank you very much.
I don't disagree as much as you disagreed with mine.
All right, so here we go. Number three. This is your choice.
Number three. See, now we're playing the game here. I'm going to see your Some Kind of Hate, and I'm going to throw in Astro Zombies.
Hey, pretty sneaky, sis. That was my number three as right. well.
Well, I'm glad we lined up there. Yeah.
That's perfect. I'm all right with Astro Zombies as number three. I'm going to go to one that was probably not on your radar, but is certainly my number two. I say with holding back a giggle, TV Casualty.
Really?
Love TV Casualty.
See, this goes, we'll get into this too, but TV Casualty is the equivalent of Black Flag's TV Party to me, which I cannot stand.
Really? What don't you like about it?
I don't know. I don't like,
is
I
it
guess
too
it's,
goofy
it's the
for ca- you?
It's the cadence of the song, actually. I just don't, it doesn't syncopate with my
brain. Right.
I don't like it.
Again, this comes down to lyrics for me. Where he sings things like,
if you read the lyrics, I like it.
Yeah, right?
There are food stains on every on everything I own.
Paint smears on everything I own. Vapor rub on a dirty table.
He paints a very
bright,
articulate scene. I do agree.
There's a spot in the corner where he talks about puking in the corner because he likes to feed the flies that he knows.
Yeah. TV Casualty. It's the, you know what it is? I just nailed it. It's the chorus. I can't friggin' stand the chorus.
Yeah, it's a little bit. It's a little bit almost,
because I
kind of imagine like black cloaked men like chanting at night around a pentagram on fire in a graveyard.
I dig the, I don't know if it's a piano. I don't know what he's playing. A piano-esque in the song.
Pianosaurus, I believe.
Pianosaurus
it's
Rex.
It's the little new Pianosaurus. It was like a Brontosaurus with a piano spine, and it was like a children's toy in the 70s.
I don't know if it's a piano or a keyboard or whatever it is, but I like piano and even in like punk and rock music, but can't get
oh,
it.
Oh, man, it's got that next line, which is 9 month sentence. Baby's in
great
prison,
line.
They call it a womb.
I was going to say, that's my favorite line. Whenever someone is newly pregnant,
that line pops in your head. That line,
which, by the way, not every pregnant woman appreciates being reminded of the line in this song.
No, I'm really. We need a donor for blood.
Well, no, I remember. I forget who it was now, but one time I went up. It was someone I knew at least close enough where I was comfortable enough.
Was it Brooke?
No, it wasn't my wife. But I went. It was a family child. I don't remember which relative it was, but I went up and I was like, "No parole in there, buddy."
You know,
9 months.
Yeah, that's.
And they were like, "What the." What the F?
Yeah.
I'm just like, sorry.
Breathe deep. So what's your number one Misfits song? I've got you up against the ropes
you
here.
You do here, because I have two that I kind of rate.
Well, I think I've already shown my hand as to what my number one is going to be. So really, the battle is inside of you. It's been inside of you all along.
I'm doing a little game face action here with you. My pick for number one is Hybrid Moments. I love that jam.
So I want to talk about Appetite of Consumption. Do you remember the 90s? Do you remember the end of the 90s? when KB Toy Stores existed?
Yeah.
Do you remember when KB Toy Stores had the Misfit 12-inch Barbie doll style figures of Doyle and Jerry Only?
Not by... I know that they existed just because of fandom, and I have friends that have collected that kind of stuff. And so there's a toy vault.
Yep.
In one of the malls. I don't know if it's still there, honestly.
Yeah, they are.
But I remember people going there looking for them, and probably later.
So I passed on those.
You passed on the original run kind of. Yeah.
KB had them on remainder, and it was, I mean, they were expensive when they came out for the time.
So this was like when this was merchandising once he got the rights from Danzig and just kind of started putting
everything, flooded the market with everything.
Because he got the rights to perform and merchandise the shit out of.
And you know what? Good on him, right? I mean,
like he says, a lot of punk rockers now are saying, you're going and seeing these bands that when I was a teenager in our 20s and going to see, and they're now in their 40s and 50s. And I think it was a face-to-face show recently. We were up in Boston. And
yeah, I was there for that.
You were there with me. Good, yeah. We went up.
You may remember me as the guy standing next to you.
I forget who I go to. Nothing personal.
Yeah.
But Mike Lucier was there. Mike Lucier, Art Freak Tattoos.
Art Freak Tattoos, Providence, Rhode Island. Stop in and get your Misfits tattoo.
Anyway, he right out was like, "Hey man, this is my retirement plan. Like, we don't have 401ks.
Yeah,
I'm basically playing up here until my arthritic hands can't
hold the mic anymore. Yeah, you know what I mean."
So, I thought that was it's one of these things that as someone with a job and with planning maybe kind of for retirement, but it's like it's one of those things like these guys that I've have helped waste my time in an enjoyable way. Yeah, what are these guys going
to
do?
Yeah, well, I see it as I'm not paying them not to do it.
Yeah.
So I have no say on how they choose to make their money. I am a consumer. That means I consume. If I was a creator, then I'd have a say.
Yeah, and if you're stupid, if you think it's stupid, you don't buy it.
Right, exactly.
So I didn't have
the stupid problem. I had the problem of which Misfit do I buy?
Which one?
Because they were expensive, and I remember them being marked down. And I want to think when you went to KB and they marked something down, they would do a stroke and then a red handwritten write down. And all KBs did this.
Okay.
So I remember really poring over: do I buy Jerry Only or Doyle? Like, I wanted the figure.
Were there just the two?
Just the two that I'm aware of. There were just the two.
Missed an opportunity to limited run of drummers and stuff. Or...
the rainbow of fruit
collect
drummers.
Collect them all.
Yes. I remember being really upset because they didn't have Danzig.
Yeah.
And I couldn't understand why they didn't have Danzig. I wasn't following the legal battles.
Well, he
would
have flipped his shit.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no. Anyway. So I'm standing in the middle of KB, and I can remember just my body shutting down with this difficult
the anxiety.
I didn't have a credit card. Right. I was working as a barista and janitor. Everything I did was cash.
Be thankful you didn't, because it just would have caused trouble.
Right. So I remember standing there and being like, I don't know what to buy. I don't know which one. And I put them both down thinking the remaindered. Nothing will ever come of this.
By the way, the answer was Doyle. You should have bought Doyle.
Well, yes, I realize hindsight and history have taught me that I've clearly made the wrong decision. But now they're like $60 on eBay. And, there's that part of me that's like, $60, it's affordable. But so I don't eat out a couple times this month. But there's no way I'm going to spend that money. But as far as other appetite for consumerism here, moment. Doyle has a hot sauce.
I did not know that.
Yes, Doyle has a special hot sauce brand. I know nothing about it, but as I was looking up these figures online, I kept coming across the Doyle Von Frankenstein.
So is that part of his own thing now, or is that done through the Misfits?
No, it's part of his own thing.
Yeah, because I know he's, even now, if you go to the Misfits site right now, the only Misfit, individual Misfit items are only... Jerry things.
Yeah.
Because everything else is this revolving cast. Is in there doing some things with them sometimes. And well, now they're doing the whole reunion tours. So
right. Then there was a Crimson Ghost figure that came out from NECA, the company NECA.
Okay.
And again, it's one of those products that I was at Newbury Comics holding it in my hand for whatever, $19. And I thought, $19 is really expensive for an article that they ripped off.
Yeah,
this wasn't like...
It's amazing.
You know,
lifted right out of someone else's work.
Not only that, but Danzig's belt buckle, that goat skull belt buckle, that's stolen as well. He never paid for that image. He just sort of took it and became, and...
Oh, do you know from what?
Yeah, from an artist, from a guy who drew it and was like, this is my art. And Danzig's like, I like this, and took it.
I'm appropriating it.
Yeah. And so... But what's funny is, like, you use the word Danzig anywhere, and his lawyers come sniffing around.
It took me a few episodes here to even feel confident enough to say his name.
If you say it four times in a row in a mirror, he appears behind you, and you know because it goes, whoa. Oh, my gosh, you brought Danzig into this house.
I actually got goosebumps there. Those mirror...
Yeah. All of your articles of clothing become mesh. You only have black armbands in your house. And there's long black strands of hair in your bathtub. Like, where did these come from?
Damn it, Danzig's ghost.
So again, the pop figure. You know, those little pop toys.
Do they have Misfits ones of those?
Well, there was a Crimson Ghost one. And again, I was holding the $9 one
in
my hand.
See, the pop stuff, like that cutesy kind of pop stuff, I too have picked those things up.
And
like, no, I can't do it.
I have a few of them. Most of them are gifts.
Yeah, well, I think,
I don't not appreciate them. I really enjoy them. I have the Sharknado one from you.
Yep.
HT, who did the Take 5, got me some the Stranger Thing creature.
Oh, cool.
And
That's
the new Star Wars Porg.
Yeah.
But since I am not going to see the new Star Wars movie, I have no intention of like seeing it. Because of these Porg creatures.
That thing is amazing, though. The desperation, it is looking up at you. It's even looking up.
It is literally saying, dear God, don't bring your boot down on me. And I can't, but I want to and I need to.
I'll go see it for you.
No, I mean, I'm sure I'll see it, and I'm sure I'll see it on opening night, but that's an argument for later and a different podcast. And finally, there's a very famous... style of vinyl figures that have come out of Japan and China, like Michael Lau style figures and Eric So, and these main names may not mean anything to you or our listeners, but if you know vinyl figures,
they're the high collectability. The McFarlane toys of Japan, kind of.
Right. Well, there's a Doyle one. There's a Doyle one as a monster, and there's a couple variations. But again, there's like $125.
Yeah. Especially now, I mean, but the people buying this stuff are—they're in their 40s, 50s. Yeah. Like they were either the people that were really there, super fans, or the people now that are just kind of getting into it. But
yeah, and something like the Misfits, you're competing with such a massive market. You're competing with the casual. You're competing with the horror. You're competing with the longtime fans.
Yeah.
That anytime anything hits.
eBay's tricksy, man.
So I tend to stay away from a lot of Misfits inspired art and stuff, but I will say that Sith Fits is my number one. If I'm gonna buy anything, pretty much it comes from him.
He does some neat stuff.
Yeah, he does. For those of you who don't know, he does crossover stuff between Star Wars and the Misfits. So the shirt I have is Darth Vader, but his mask is the Crimson Skull.
Yeah.
I know that he's done one with the Millennium Falcon, where the Millennium Falcon has the Crimson Skull emblazoned on the top of it. And then there's a billion other t-shirt designs that are all really amazing. The guy's pretty cool. I want to try to get him on the show and see what he has to say.
Cool, yeah.
So is there any other product that you want to endorse in our last few moments
show here? There's never much of a toy guy, but the only real kind of odd Misfit kind of consumerism I ever... I bought the Misfits onesie for my daughter when she...
Yeah, you mentioned that at the beginning.
Like it was just a random happenstance where I just, in a weak moment, was like, oh, buy this thing. She wore it once, but...
Well, she was, you know... even as an infant, she was pretty specific about her clothing. She's always kind of had a sense about her.
I think I've even done an Instagram post about it. My wife... I was so proud of it
yeah.
that my wife, for the first Father's Day, made a t-shirt from the photo of my daughter.
That's so awesome.
Anyway.
Did it say parolee on the back?
No, that would have been that. See, now that's the kind of stuff that like is missing from the consumer, like
the consumer market.
It would have been real, you know.
Yeah, there need to be more misfit onesies. I think kids need to grow up hearing these these things, right?
Dad, why am I wearing a thing with a skull on it that says parolee?
Now, you had mentioned early on that you had some kind of challenge last week. Before we do that, I want to just, is there any other thing you want to talk about before we move on to close out the show?
No.
Okay. You don't want to talk about?
No, I'm eager right now. I was supposed to lead off the episode with this, and I
you totally blanked. You got sucked into it by the Alkaline Trio.
You opened up with Alkaline Trio, and I went all starry-eyed and
yep.
Was playing the Phantom Piano, you know?
Again, great visual for podcasting.
I'll use the words, at least. I challenge you,
uh-huh.
Mr. Eric, the novel sound.
Yeah, uh-huh.
To a Misfits karaoke show woe down. Here we are,
yep.
On a podcast talking about works of art, whatever, music, criticizing and evaluating people's works.
We're putting these songs under a pretty bright light.
Right. We're playing cover songs, and some of the songs we picked so far are just people off the internet.
Wait, is this because I laughed at one of those death metal?
I did too.
Superfluous Worm, I did too. Or whatever they
I'm
were
simply,
called.
I'm simply saying I feel compelled to put our woes where our podcast is. You know, like let's put out something and say if people, some people listening might be sensitive to the fact that we laughed at something or criticized something even or made fun of Henry. You know, he's an easy target. But
you mean Glenn? You're bringing Henry Rollins into a discussion.
Oh, well, yes. Freudian slip.
Really?
That's for later.
Wow, I can't wait to hear your Freudian slip on Henry Rollins. Yeah.
So, Henry Rollins, always on my mind.
You were always on my mind. See, I'm getting ready.
I'm practicing, warming up the pipes. You and I are going to have a little karaoke off.
Sure. So do we have a prize for this? Is there something?
No, this is me just saying, look at me, I can do something stupid.
Okay, this is a chance for the people out there to say, how dare they mock some of these covers when, in fact, neither of them have a voice fit for radio.
Oh, I can almost guarantee right now that people will be turning down
the volume.
So
they may be leaving our show early.
Let me ask you this. Are you a karaoke-er?
I attend karaoke. We have a place in Providence called the Boombox.
And you do
I've
this?
Been there with, I go once, twice a year.
You say attend. Do you get up there and?
Yeah, well, you can rent rooms. It's in the Asian style, like Japanese understand. Style. So,
but do you grab the microphone?
Yeah, I have some of my jams.
Yeah.
Are Boy Named Sue. Boy Called Sue from Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Ring of Fire from Johnny Cash.
All right,
and I Walk the Line from Johnny Cash.
Okay.
Because that's pretty much my range.
That's your range. But I once did The Darkness, I Believe in a Thing Called Love. You know, the guy sings in falsetto.
Yep.
People were excited when I did it. Like, I actually kind of did pretty well. But I can't do it anymore.
Sure.
And Vanilla Ice, Ice Baby.
Okay, yeah. So you stopped, you perpetrated and listened.
I
And were you back with a brand new edition?
Those words from the song?
Yes, they are. You must have been brilliant.
I rocked the crap out of that.
I don't doubt it, man.
I was up there with doing hand gestures and everything. It was quite exciting.
So let's finish the show, and then we'll allow people who want to quickly run for the exits to do so.
Yeah.
And those of us who are going to stay can stay and carry on.
If you're the type of person that, say, likes to look at the car accident as you drive by through slow traffic,
I hope it isn't that bad.
It might be
the All right, so do we want to, let's rocks, paper, scissor, and we'll decide, we're not going to say it out loud, but you and I will know who's going first. So after we close out the show, we'll play that person's song first.
Okay.
All right, so here we go. 1, 2, 3, go.
I win again. Paper
you
beats rock.
You are not supposed to say who won. I literally just got... Those were the words that ended the statement.
You know, folks, I'm trying so hard to get through episodes without a ditzy moment.
That was amazing. So
close.
Again, thank you all very much. Want to thank Rufus Dayglow, Lynn Cyrus, Matt Richards, Steve Eibach for their help with last episode. I forgot to thank Lynn, who is responsible for the show title. Again, I want to thank Mike Lucier of Art Freak Tattoo. Art Freak Tattoo, Wicked in Street Providence. If you find yourself in need of an awesome Crimson Ghost tattoo, go to Art Freak Tattoo.
Tell him Chris sent you.
Tell him Chris sent you. Which Chris would that be? Tell him Chris sent
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I don't know that guy. He's been here a couple of times.
Yeah. Follow us on Instagram at Cut by Cut Podcast. Drop us a line at Gmail at Cut by Cut Podcast. That's Cut X Cut Podcast at gmail.com.
We're on the Facebook machine.
Kinda. I don't really spend a lot of time there as much as I should. I kind of am dropping.
I was told if we're gonna do this, you gotta like.
Yes, and thank you for subscribing to the show on Podbean and on iTunes. And if you like the show and you want to help support it, again, we don't ask for money, we don't ask for fame, we just ask for your 5-star reviews. And, you know, write a kind word for us, please. All right. So those of you who are leaving, have a great time. We'll see you next week for the beginning of Side B of Misfits Walk Among Us. For those of you who are sticking around.
For the Misfits Karaoke Show, whoa down.
Chris will be deciding whether he's going first or whether I'm going first. But you won't know until after these messages.
Or until, unless you listened 5 minutes ago when I told you.
Bonfires burning bright, pumpkin faces in the night. Well, I remember Halloween, dead cats hanging from poles, little dead are out in droves. Well, I remember Halloween. Brown-leaved vertigo, where skeletal life is known. Well, I remember Halloween, this day anything goes. Burning bodies hanging from poles. Well, I remember Halloween. Halloween came in too early. Halloween, 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 Halloween. Candy apples and razor blades, little dead are soon in graves. Well, I remember Halloween, this day anything goes. Burning bodies hanging from poles. Well, I remember Halloween, 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 and so forth until the song runs out. Halloween!
If you're gonna scream, scream with me. Moments like this never last. When new creatures rip your face, hybrids open up the door. Oh baby, when you cry, your face is momentary. You hide your look behind these scars. In hybrid moments, give me a moment. Give me a moment, give me a moment. Cause ooh baby, when you cry, your face is momentary. You hide your looks behind these stars. In hybrid moments, what the fuck is a hybrid moment? In hybrid moments, in hybrid moments. Give me a moment, give me a moment. Woo! Cut by Cut Podcast, thank you so much for listening!